You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina, in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Listening to the cycling podcast Femina, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Today we're in Kent Cyclopark.
3, 2, 1, go! Stage 2 of the Oval Energy Women's Tour here at Kent Cyclopark is underway. This is the cycling lap.
And they're off. They kept them standing around for quite a while there, didn't they, before the riders rolled off for stage 2 of the Oval Energy Women's Tour.
Yeah, they're off, and it's going to be a really interesting stage, isn't it, today?
I think we're going to see quite a lot of it.
Yeah, for once, we're going to see the whole thing. And because it's only 1.5 hours, the ITV highlights tonight are going to have half an hour of it, so you're going to see plenty of racing tonight.
So let's hope it's good, eh?
Let's hope so. That's Orla Shinawee. Before her was Rose Manley. I'm Richard Moore. And this Stage 2 podcast from the Women's Tour is a bit different because we're going to record as the stage goes on. And then we're going to hot foot it to Henley.
Hambledown, actually, near Henley.
That's right. And then we're going to hear the story of the stage properly in the final part. What will be the theme tonight?
The theme tonight is Charles Dickens, because this is Charles Dickens' country. Gravesend, where we are at the moment, featured in what again?
David Copperfield.
So it's going to be a mixture of perhaps Charles Dickens' titles or famous quotes. I'll try to make this slightly easier, so I'll have fewer references, because I think last night I said a hard challenge. But so tonight I'll try to make it a little bit simpler, but yeah, that's
quite
the theme.
Quite a few entries though to last night's competition. It looks like we're going to run a competition every day then, does it? But yeah, I was here this morning riding around Kent Cycle Park. We were staying in a hotel just along the road, along the A2, and less said about our hotel the better, I think. But the Kent Cycle
just
Park,
just along the A2 and take a corner right to the 1980s.
This place, it's a great facility. There's a BMX park in the middle there, and the cycle circuit is really nice. It's a lovely surface. It's quite technical, quite twisting. It's going to force aggressive racing today because it's quite narrow. Riders are going to sprint out of corners if they're at the front. They're definitely going to be splits, and it could be quite an important stage, although it's a short stage.
Oh, this is the stuff. You know all about this, don't you, Richard? Because you actually went and did a recce this morning on this track and saw how technical and twisty it was. But what was interesting...
A single lap. Let's not pick
up too
much.
A whole 2 kilometre run of this cycle park. But what is interesting is also logistically everything is a bit different, because instead of following cars, we've got pit stops around, and I've been hearing from some riders that there are bikes scattered across the course. So that could be really serious for someone's GC hopes if they don't happen to be near a bike, if they have a punch or something. So it's, you know, the dynamics of this stage is going to be really different from anything else we've seen at the Women's Tour before.
And I think as well, the fact that there's a mixture of experience and recent experience with regards crit racing within the peloton should make for a very interesting dynamic. I mean, I was chatting to Abby Mae Parkinson, and she thinks there's going to be quite a lot of argy-bargy in the bunch, people jostling for position.
That's the technical cycling term, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. That's in the cycling encyclopedia. Bart Fass of Park Hotel Valkenburg says that this is actually very like a Dutch crit race in particular. So he thinks Bols Dolmans will be very strong again today, which is interesting.
Well, they were strong yesterday, first and second on the stage. And I spoke to the rider who won yesterday and is in the green jersey of overall race leader, Jolien Doerr, before the stage. She hadn't actually been around the circuit yet. This was about 30 minutes before the start. I was surprised at that a few of the riders were out looking at the circuit, Sunweb, Mitchelton Scott, Canyon SRAM, but a few of the riders left it very late to have a look at the circuit. They were warming up on turbo trainers instead. Tim Harris was kind of scratching his head at that because he felt that really studying the circuit closely and properly was probably more important than warming up. But let's hear from Yolene Duhr and then from Lisa Brenner, who was third on stage one for WNT. Quite an unusual stage today. What do you expect to happen today?
Yeah, it's a crit today, and it's going to be fast from the start. It's going to be a very aggressive race, I think. So it's a matter for us to be there in the front and to be in the breakaways. And then we see with a sprint, we also have Amelie Diederichsen, who's very fast. So we just have to talk.
Have you been around the circuit already?
No, we're going to check it out right now.
It's a cycle circuit, so it's quite technical. I mean, is that something that you enjoy? I mean, you're a good track rider as well, obviously. So do you enjoy the sort of technical aspects of it?
Yeah, we enjoy it. Actually, the whole team enjoys it. We like some technical stuff, so yeah, we're looking forward to today.
Well done yesterday. Good, strong ride. Were you pleased with that?
Yeah, definitely. I was happy with my third place, and felt pretty good in the sprint, and I haven't done that many bunch sprints this year, so still some things that I can do better, and maybe there's going to be another chance this week. I would be happy.
And today, an unusual stage this. What do you expect to happen in this stage?
Yeah, I mean, we have had some like city center circuit race already in the women's tour before, and it was always super fast and full gas from the start. So that's kind of what I expect also from today's race. A really fast race and lots of attacks, and it's going to be so quick.
And a short stage, but I guess potentially a really important one for GC riders.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, also on the stage, there are lots of seconds to grab, and I think maybe you cannot win the tour in today's stage, but you can definitely kind of lose it, and so I think everybody has to be really paying good attention and be well positioned in the front and to keep the overview and be in the race.
Yeah, so I also spoke to Hannah Barnes, who is a former British crit champ, and but from a long time ago, and she was saying that being back here is kind of like going back into the past, back into the crit racing, which a lot of these riders would have done as they were coming up through the ranks. So this is what she had to say about today's stage.
Hannah, you're a British crit champion. Can you tell us about this, all those years ago? Can you tell us a bit about this circuit and how it's different from other criteriums that you have in the UK or in the US?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. It's a venue that's used a lot for youth racing and grassroots, and I think that's really important for them to see that we're going to be racing around it as well, the professional women's peloton. And yeah, it's going to take me back. These are definitely, I feel like I'm under 16 again, you know, one of the youth races. And yeah, everyone warming up as well. We're not used to seeing people warming up before a race, but I think it's going to be a really great stage and a good addition to the women's tour.
And what did you make of, you've been out on the circuit, or have you raced here before ever, or ridden here? What did you make when you did your recce?
Yeah, I've never actually raced. I think it was built just after I turned to juniors and, yeah, went onto the open roads, I guess. So, yeah, we've just done a few laps of it, and it's going to be pretty hard, actually. Some of the corners are a lot tighter than you think, and then especially the drag to the finish line as well, it's going to be 65k, I think, of just full gas racing.
And how different do your tactics as a team have to be? Or do you know who you're riding for? Or is it a lot more scattergun when you get out there?
No, we've still got a plan. We go into the race like it's a normal stage. But, I mean, not having a convoy and not having laps out as well, which you would get in a typical crit, is, it's going to throw a few spanners in the works, maybe, if there's a few crashes. We think we've planned 5 pits of our own we've got 6 bikes scattered around the course, so yeah, it's the staff, we've all got radios, and if there's a problem, yeah, whoever's the closest will like a dip for the bike that we take, I guess. But yeah, it's going to be really, really cool, I think, and it's going to, a few riders are going to love it and a few riders are going to hate it, I think. Feel a bit like Marmite, I guess. You love it or you hate it. Yeah,
the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
I really love my Ratha bib short because they have the best fit, individual fit, and I have a good feeling. I can ride my bike as long as I want. Hey, I'm Lisa Klein and I'm racing for Canyon SRAM. I think the most important thing is that they are pretty individual, so we can choose our chamois, the length. So yeah, it suits like a kind of second skin, and we have different fabrics for every temperature, so there's no excuse to don't ride your bike. I think the Rafa bib shorts are quite the best in the world.
Lara Kazakos. I'm brand partnerships manager at Rafa. So Rafa's Women's 100 campaign is designed just to celebrate the community that is women's cycling. On the 14th September, all around the world, there are rides hosted. I think last year we had about 10,000 women come out and ride 100k on the same day. Yeah, and the girls get a run of the Women's 100 kit this week, but it'll be available to buy on Friday at rafa.cc.
Well, we found a great vantage point here on a hill overlooking the sort of back part of the circuit. There's a quite fast downhill here and a, you know, bend down to a hairpin and then around and up to the finish.
Your description just really paints such a vivid picture in the mind's eye. It's beautiful. A few corners and then up and then down and then around.
It's like twisty, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's but we twisty. Do have a good vantage point. The sun's shining. It's a beautiful spot for
beautiful spot.
The
lots of people. But not an awful lot happening in the bike race.
Yeah, it's a little bit dull, bit of a truce. Someone said earlier it was a bit of a truce at the moment. It does seem like that. I mean, the only thing to be putting the efforts in when it comes up to an intermediate sprint and you're getting like a 200 metre, you know, effort. But other than that, it's been very quiet. Elena Cecchini went off the front earlier, but was eventually pulled back. But that was quite, you know, nice to see someone kind of showing themselves, trying to do something for their team. And Hannah Barnes said earlier that the team had quite a plan for today. So I'm sure that'll be all part of that, whether that was doing what they wanted to do. I doubt it, because not much came of it, did it? Really, the action is actually off the back, to be honest, with a few riders, you know, frittering off and being pulled off when they get lapped.
It's a good strategy, because if you get lapped, you get pulled out of the race and able to start the next day. But yeah, Alice Barnes was off the front of the little group before that as well. It didn't last long. That suggested that Canyon SRAM were going to try and be quite aggressive, and I said the circuit lends itself to aggressive racing. It does, but not if they're sort of coasting around in a big group as they are at the moment. I mean, it's not strung out, it's not, people aren't sprinting out of the corners. Ashley Milman-Passio, one of the best climbers in the world, has been up in the first three or four riders all day, which just tells you, I think, the kind of pace that there's been. And I think it's disappointing, because there's a big crowd here and this circuit is set up for an aggressive race over an hour and a half. So I hope we see a bit of action in the second half of the race.
And this is where, when we talk about exciting racing and the design of a course and the parkour, last year we called for a more exciting route. We've got it this year. This is a brilliant stage. It's a brilliant platform for an exciting race, and now it's up to the riders to race it that way. And the problem is, I guess, that you've got competing interests, and the only interest that really matters in the middle of that bunch is who's going to win, and keeping your race ambitions alive for the whole of the 6 days. However, for the sport, what you really need today is a super aggressive race. You need lots of breakaways and brought back again. You need people riding with heart and passion and not being so calculated, because this is where you get that showcase to be able to bring more television to the sport, to bring more fans to the sport, to bring more sponsors to the sport. And ultimately, that has to be weighed up in some way or other. I don't know where that decision has to come from, whether it's from, you know, the DSs or the sponsors or from the race organisers. But today, if we see this kind of racing for the next, 12 laps or whatever, then it's a really wasted opportunity. And I hate to say that, because whoever wins today will have earned their win and all the rest of it. But this is where, you know, if you're standing here for an hour and a half, you've got your school kids out, you've got families who've taken the day here, if they don't see anything that really sparks an interest, then that is a wasted opportunity. We have had an intermediate sprint. Mariana Voss won that, Lizzie Deignan second, Corinne Rivera third. And we've got Virtue Cycling at the front now, and this is the first lap, really, where we haven't seen Canyon SRAM at the front, Bowles, Dolmans and Trek. Sunweb, to my mind, a bit... am I allowed to say disappointing? I guess I am. I mean, this is the kind of course that I would have expected Corinne Rivera to really thrive in. Possibly, and quite probably, they're saving all of that for the end of the race. But again, there's that, you know,
It's whether we're seeing a lot of self-neutralization for an expected finale to something, whether that be the day's racing or the week's racing, that doesn't make for a great spectator event.
Well, it's also kind of surprising because it's a really short race today. It's short, it started very late, and you think that, you know, people have plenty of time to rest up and be prepared to come out all guns blazing. And they were all warming up, weren't they? All warming up outside their buses this morning. So I thought they were going to really hit it, not running, cycling, obviously, but really do some proper racing while we've been here. And we haven't seen anything yet. Hopefully, when they come back, they're just out of our sight at the moment. When they come back over that small little rise there, hopefully we'll see Virtue Cycling looking to do something, because they look like they were gathering at the front. Hopefully that will come to fruition.
And I should say that, as you said, Rose, we have seen some riders spat out the back, and this is probably the kind of a day where anyone who's involved in the race listens back and thinks, hang on a minute, you've no idea how brutal that was out there. But I think it is important that a fan's perspective is also given, and from a fan's point of view, it's not a dynamic race, no matter how hard it is in the middle of all of that. But like I say, you know, how does that issue become resolved? That's the question.
Kent Cycle Park, Tom, here we are.
Yeah.
How long is the circuit, did we say?
Yeah, 2.5k.
2.5k, how many laps are we going to manage?
Well, yeah, we could probably fit in, I don't know, two or three? What do you reckon?
Oh, at least two or three, I think.
The way you move.
It's a beautiful sunny day, and we had a nice pedal here along the disused railway track, the National Cycle Network, from our hotel on the edge of Gravesend, and they've been very lucky with the weather, because I think the forecast today was terrible. But let's go and have a look at this circuit, shall we? I hope they let us on.
Let's do it. We got our passes.
Well, Tom, we did a lap there and then had to fight our way back onto the circuit. Almost got kicked off because they're still building putting up the barriers and various hoardings and stuff. But I really like it. It's a really smooth surface. It's quite twisty. I've actually raced before on motor racing circuits, and it's kind of like a miniature motor racing circuit, but designed for cycling, because motor racing circuits are not designed for cycling, and the corners just don't work on a bike, and the hills are deceptively tough as well. But this is really, really lovely.
Yeah, it's really lovely. I wonder if it was raining, though, how lovely it would be. What do you reckon?
Well, it's not raining. So that's a hypothetical.
It is a hypothetical. Speculation. I know that's not allowed.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here. I think we'll see a fast, aggressive race, and I think Marianne Vos will win.
Hi, I'm Sarah Story. I'm the Academy Principal of the Skoda DSi Cycling Academy. Well, here at the concourse, just above this amazing track here at the London Velodrome, we've got what bikes set up, we've got some turbo trainers set up, and we're about to do our testing day to select 5 applicants for the Skoda DSi Cycling Academy for 2019.
It's pretty amazing. I was inspired by the 2012 Games. I was a competitive swimmer at the time, so saw the cycling and thought, I want to give that a go. And then the Giro came to Ireland in 2014, set my A-levels at the time. I got my first road bike then, and 4 years ago our cycling club Armagh Down was founded, and I'm the only girl with 2 other ladies, so started racing 3 months ago, and this opportunity came along, so couldn't pass it up. It's too good. My name is Lauren Garvey, I'm 23 and I'm from Newry, County Down. Funny, I was applying for jobs at the time, took a break and went on Facebook, and an advert came up from Skoda, so saw it and thought, why not give it a go. So the application entailed just a little bit about why you wanted to join the academy, and also then you had to upload and join the Strava club, the Skoda club on Strava. So that's what I did, and put my rides in public. Here we are today.
Thank you very much to Skoda for supporting Cycling Podcast Femina. We heard a little clip there from the Skoda Academy induction day a couple of days ago. Lionel Burney was there and spoke to some of the people involved in that. So we'll hear clips from that for the rest of the women's tour and beyond. And before that, we heard a little bit from my bike ride with Tom Kerry of the Telegraph this morning. What are you laughing at?
Well, I just have a sneaking suspicion we would never have heard
this little snippet from your ride with Tom Carey this morning. Unless Mariana Voss had won.
Unless she hadn't won.
Because as soon as she won today, you said, that's what I said this morning. And we were kind of like, did you though?
Because I was looking.
That audio file would have disappeared into the ether.
I recorded myself saying about 15 different names. Anyway, where are we now, Orla?
Oh, we are in Hambledon near Henley. We're officially at the posh stage, really, the night before. We're in very posh middle England. It's lovely, isn't it?
And this is where Midsummer Murders is filmed. Mm.
Stag and Huntsman pub where we're staying. And we made a sharp exit, didn't we? And no offence to Gravesend.
You can't say that.
Well, no, we wanted to get here.
Yeah.
We Googled this
place and knew that it was going to be a lovely evening in this refined country pub. So, yeah,
and
here
it's
we
very
are.
Very nice indeed. And as you said, spoiler alert, Mariana Voss did win the stage. Have you got a story of the stage?
I do. Should I announce the winners of yesterday's spot the John Peel song reference first?
Winners,
because actually nobody got it entirely right. But it could be argued that I didn't get it entirely right either, because the two winners that I've gone for went to an awful lot of effort and spotted songs that I hadn't even intended to put in there. And they got the closest to my intended 17. So congratulations to Neil Godfrey and Ian Haywood. Shall I let you know what the songs were? Very quickly. Ain't Talking About Dub, Anarchy in the UK, Good Vibrations, Teenage Kicks, Common People, Happy Cycling, Groovy Feeling, Thick as Thieves, Mountain Energy, This Wild Darkness, Wanderer, Brass Neck, Whiskey in the Jar, Love is a Drug, Spooky, Lust for Life, and When Saturday Comes. So they were our references yesterday. And today, as we said earlier, we are doing Charles Dickens references, aren't we?
Mm. Well, you are.
I am. Shall I get started then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we did have great expectations for the stage today, but alas, the old curiosity shop of life doesn't always offer up its finest wares. Stage races, of course, usually a tale of two cities, but it took place in one location today, the Cyclopark in Kent. 25 laps of a 2.5 kilometre circuit. And once a rider was lapped, interestingly, they were taken off the race. So hard times for anyone who couldn't keep the pace, although they weren't eliminated. They still get to start the race again tomorrow. But the first rider dropped was Hannah Payton of Drops. So was the best of times, it was the worst of times for our mutual friend Bob Varney in this race so far after Abby May Parkinson's heroics yesterday. But Alice Barnes of Canyon SRAM made an early attack. Ellen Van Dyke of Trek Segafredo and Leah Kirchman of Team Sunweb led the chase, and she was brought back after just 2.5 kilometres out front. Another attack at 12 kilometres. This time it was pictures from Italy with Elena Cecchini, again of Canyon SRAM. Her break lasted slightly longer, getting a lead of 30 seconds at one point, with a solo break lasting 10 kilometres. Other than that, it was only really the intermediate sprints that broke up the stage. So I'll run you through those. Mariana Voss took the first sprint ahead of Lizzie Deignan, foreshadowing the finish with Corin Rivera in third. The second intermediate sprint was taken by Sheila Gutierrez, who's had a great showing in the sprint so far. Corin Rivera continuing her tactic of soaking up as many sprint points as possible, with Sofia Bertazzolo in third. And the final sprint went to Rivera's teammate, Leanne Lippert of Team Sunweb. Lizzie Deignan in second again, and her teammate, Elisa Longoborghini, in third. Now, if any team had been hoping to push this race from the front, well, it turned out that procrastination is the thief of time, and in the end, it came down to a bunch sprint finish. Mariana Voss winning comfortably in the end, ahead of Lizzie Deignan, and Sarah Roy of Mitchelton Scott, with Corin Rivera in fourth. Now, we only discovered afterwards that Voss actually punctured during the stage. It turns out that it happened in just the right spot because there were no cars on the route today. I think we mentioned that already. So the riders had to go into the pits along the route. She was able to pit fairly quickly, get herself back in the race again. And so at the end of stage two, Voss now takes over the race lead ahead of Lizzie Deignan, with Bowles Dolman's Amy Peters in third ahead of last year's winner, Corin Rivera. Through the points jersey, we have Yoli Andora, Queen of the Mountains, Christine Majerus. The sprints jersey is still on Corin Rivera's back. And the best British rider is now Lizzie Deignan. That is your rapid story of the stage.
Where did Stella Havisham finish in the end? Was she...
Miss
Virtue Cycling.
Was, 42nd, I think.
42nd.
Yeah.
Oh, good ride. Well, that was, thanks for that, Orla. I don't know if we're doing another competition. I think we can do a competition every night, especially giving away two prizes on the first night.
Oh, you can't discourage people.
Marina Voss, though.
You get to win your pride, though, and a mention. You get a mention in the podcast. I think that's prize enough.
The glory.
I had a flashback because last year, stage two into Daventry. Do you remember Marina Voss just missed out to Corn Rivera, which really established, obviously, a pattern that wasn't broken. Rivera held the lead all the way.
And she was in tears.
Voss was
remember?
Really upset to lose that very narrowly. And she just misjudged that one, and she got this one just right. It was a bunch sprint, but she went very early. You know, there was a climb up in the final 500 metres, and she caught them by surprise, and she won by quite a few bike lengths.
Yeah, I was speaking to her dad very briefly afterwards. He said it was Hail Moya. Beautiful win. And it was a beautiful win. She timed it to perfection. It's lovely. I love the way that her family just travel around in the camper van with her.
With the cat.
Races.
Did you meet the cat?
I didn't meet the cat, no. Oh. Just the dad, chatting to him this morning. Saw her brother here as well. He's a photographer. But yeah, so it's a lovely day for the Voss family.
And I think she's in a very strong position. I mean, she's obviously riding well. She's got a strong team with her, with Ashimu and Passio as well, for these tough stages to come. And she looks to be in a very strong position, I think.
Oh, she is. I mean, also the fact that she's going for the intermediate sprints as well. It wasn't the most kind of...
Well, we covered that, didn't we? I mean...
Energetic stage, was it? But
in speaking to some of the riders afterwards, did you feel like we'd been a little bit hard on the race, watching it from the sidelines and you know, lamenting the fact that there weren't more attacks?
No, I mean, yeah, as a spectator, obviously, that's what you want to see. You want to see it all, you know, broken up. And my mum and dad were there today. And as much as my mum admires the pretty colours of the jerseys, my dad, you know, wanted to prove his cycling chops by saying, oh, you know, but, you know, someone should have got away, or should have been more, should have been broken up more. And that is what fans want. But actually, you have to say it's testament to the incredible job that Trek was always at the front, Bowles Dolmans were always at the front, and it was kind of testament to the fact that they were trying to keep it all together like that. They were trying to race it hard and very fast and make it very difficult for anyone to get away. And Canyon SRAM were the only team that managed to get any distance at all through the whole race.
I would say that although from speaking to the riders, and we sort of preempted this, didn't we, when we were lamenting the lack of action mid-race, that it was probably a very hard stage to race anyway, and it's probably very difficult to get off the front, and that was confirmed by speaking to the riders. But as we were saying on the way here, if it was a much harder race, more riders would have been shelled off the back, I think. And so while it might have been a really tough pace for an hour and a half, I don't know. It's very difficult to say. As a fan, you cannot help but want to see more action. And I think that's justifiable, really, because, you know, we talk about bringing more money into the sport, more television into the sport, but we need a spectacle. We didn't get that today. And the question is open as to whether that's because of how it was raced, whether it's because, as we'll hear in a little bit from Danny Stamm, the DS of Bowles Dolmans, whether it's because these races are longer, because they're harder, a lot of the racing is neutralised. Whose responsibility is it to make the races exciting, I guess, is a
but
question.
But I have to say that, I mean, the GC is exciting because...
And fair, I'd say.
Voss is leading, and then it's Lizzie Deignan and Amy Peters are 9 seconds back, both of them. And that is exciting because Voss has been going for the intermediate sprints all the time. So she took 3 seconds on the first intermediate sprint by winning that. And that kind of shows you Voss's intention for this race. She's not just happy to have stage wins. She is a former champion here at this race, the first champion at this race. And she wants to give it all she's got by taking just a few seconds here and there. And actually build up quite a good lead on everyone else.
Well, it was a very good day for Lizzie Deignan, who has obviously been coming back from having her first baby, and this was the first time she had finished on the podium. She got the jersey for best British rider, and she was third on the stage.
Second on the stage.
She was second on the stage. I'm confused because I'm about to introduce Sarah Roy as well, who was third. So we'll hear first from Lizzie Deignan and then from Sarah Roy.
Listen, you've got best British jersey, but how was it out there? You seem to be, well, Trek were a lot at the front, including you.
Yeah, I think that's the way to ride circuit races. I mean, you've got to accelerate out of any corner wherever you are, and if you're at the front, then you just have to brake that little bit less. And it's kind of the opposite of what you're taught. You know, you're told to conserve energy, stay in the peloton, hide in the peloton, but actually riding at the front is the most conservative way to ride on a stage like today. So yeah, we rode really well as a team.
I mean, you guys riding so well meant that there probably wasn't as much excitement for fans watching, because there weren't so many breakaways. But just tell us about how intense and hard the race actually was. It wasn't like you guys were cruising around this course.
No, absolutely not. It was hard, fighting for position the whole time. Like I say, accelerating out of every corner. Actually, we would have been happy for a breakaway, but obviously it's just the right combination needs to work. And Ellen's in top shape, Elisa's in top shape, and we were kind of happy for anything with either of those two to go. But in the end, it worked out for the sprint, surprisingly. So yeah, we're all very happy.
And how great is it to be having the best British rider jersey on a race which should have been your first race back after pregnancy?
Yeah, you know, actually this is the first podium I've had since returning, and feels really special. Yeah, it's not a win, but it feels like a win, to be honest. And British cycling in terms of the women at the moment is really growing, so to still be able to pull on that jersey is a huge achievement for me. So yeah, really proud of that.
Happy with that?
Yeah, really happy with that. It's a big improvement. I've been trying to work on my sprint finishes for a little while and haven't had much luck, or haven't really nailed it. So got a couple of top tens, and yeah, to get sort of like a podium is really good. Yeah,
we didn't get a great view of the finish there. Marina Voss had a bit of a gap, it looked like. Did she jump a bit early?
Yeah, she did. She started her sprint before anybody else, and she came from behind with a bit more speed. So that was sort of what I was aiming to do, but I felt her on my hip and just felt a bit... That just made me hesitate a little bit. But yeah, she definitely got the tactics right today.
And how was the stage? I mean, an unusual stage to have in the middle of a stage race. Watching, it looked quite controlled. I mean, I know it was fast, but, you know, there weren't many breaks going off the front. What did it feel like in the race?
I think to begin with, it was a little bit stop-start with some people trying to have a go off the front, but just the type of circuit that is, and most, you know, purpose-built cycling circuits are pretty fast and flowy, so it's, a bit too hard for anybody to get away. So in the end, It did seem controlled, but I mean, being in the bunch, it was pretty hard. It's hard to hold your position, and the corners, you know, you could almost pedal through them, but if you weren't in a great spot, then you had to brake and sprint and brake and sprint. So yeah, all up, it was a really tough race, and I think it is odd to have it in the middle of a stage race, but it's kind of cool because you draw some crowds, and it's something different, isn't it?
So we've been asking ourselves really why the race was raced as it was today, and whether it was a case of the riders, the teams self-neutralising, as I'm now calling it, ahead of tough stages to come, or whether it was simply impossible to get off the front. And I was curious as to what the DS has thought about that. So I cornered Danny Stamm of Bulls Dolmans after the race. We looked at the course earlier, and I think a lot of people maybe expected that there would be more attacks off the front, that it could have splintered the race quite a bit, and we didn't quite see that. Why do you think that was?
Well, actually, to be honest, I was directly thinking it was not hard enough to split it up. It should be possible when it's rain or wind, and the weather conditions is pretty well, and the corners are not that steep that you need to really break down completely. So yeah, it's high speed in the bunch, and then it's pretty difficult to really split it up. And I think also the most of the teams were waiting for a bunch sprint in that case. Yeah, and then the race is not hard enough. I think that should be totally different when it was raining.
So when you say not hard enough, what would have made this course specifically harder, other than the weather? Would it have been distance, longer drags? What would have split it up, do you think?
I think it's a stage race, and in every stage race belong some stages what is not that hard, and there are stages what is extremely hard. And I think this suits perfect in the stage race. And I don't think we need to search for every day extremely hard races, and it's also good that we have a day like this.
Do you think that the race, I guess, was almost neutralized to an extent in expectation of a bunch sprint finish?
Yeah, I think everybody was expecting that, yeah. From riders wise, yeah, you could see that.
So what about the days to come then? If you're looking purely at the parkour and what kind of racing we can expect, tomorrow, for example, we've got two categorised climbs coming near the start of the race. What kind of a race do you think we can expect as fans, as spectators tomorrow?
Well, I think the general riders can probably make it hard in the beginning of the race to get rid of the sprinters, but it's also pretty long to come back. So I think not tomorrow, but the days after, then when 3 days is counting from long races, travelling, etc., etc., then it will for sure will be splitting up.
Do you think it's a good thing that they've made this race longer and they say harder than ever before? Because we saw last year that a lot of the race seemed to have been neutralised, if you like, an expectation of the final stage because it was billed as such a tough stage. Is there a danger of billing it too much as being a difficult race and then waiting for, you know, an expected climax?
Coming, yeah. Well, I think we only can say that after the race. You can see that, in my opinion, yesterday everybody was a little bit afraid to race because, okay, what is coming? It's still 5-6 days to go. It's coming hard days, so, yeah, we're not racing too aggressive in that point. But, yeah, I mean, if the organization decide to make it longer and bigger, yeah, then I think it's a good point for the women's cycling, that for sure. But I don't think it makes the racing more attractive. And I think the last couple of days, when everybody knows his position, then we will get more aggressive racing.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science and Sport for supporting the cycling podcast Femina. You can get 25% off. Oh, you're going to do a song tonight, I think.
Oh.
A chant, Rose.
Really? Have I missed this?
You can get 25% off all your Science and Sport products at scienceandsport.com with the code
SISCP25. SISCP25. SISCP25.
Got the testosterone in here.
Are you going to explain what that is?
I think you've adapted that from a Crystal Palace, a Crystal Palace chant. You're a Crystal Palace fan.
It's normally we're the boys from SE25.
That will not get you 25% off.
But SISCP25 will.
Yeah, it will. We're doing a press conference at the end of the week. Please send a voice memo to the WhatsApp number +44 7971 338 205 +44 7971 338 205. Please send any questions and we'll get round to them towards the end of the week. Orla, we had high expectations, great expectations.
That doesn't
for,
count. Doesn't count.
Sunweb today with Con Rivera, defending champion. You spoke to one of her teammates at the finish.
Yeah, I spoke to Suzanne Anderson, who had a good race yesterday, and asked her about the team tactics for Corin and whether they were happy enough with their showing, and also just why we didn't see more attacks off the front. So here is Suzanne Anderson. A bit of an unusual stage, really, for the women's tour. What did you make of it?
Well, the best. Crit is pretty unusual and totally different than a normal bike race. But I always find it super hard. There are also girls who really likes it. And this is definitely not my thing. And we had a hard time with the team, but we tried everything. And and then it's also, I mean, you have to be the strongest and also a good lead out and a bit of luck with this kind of races. And this is all what we have.
I spoke to Bart, the DS of Park Hotel, this morning, and he said he thought it was very much like a Dutch crit. I don't know what makes a Dutch crit race different to any others, but did you think that?
Maybe a little bit, yeah. We have some in the summer, we have some criteriums, but then the bunch is much smaller, so it's different. Crits are always really hard because you have to sprint through every corner and after every corner, so it's actually all whole day sprinting, so 60k is more than enough.
And Bulls seem to be doing a lot of work on the front. Were you hopeful of a stage win for the team today, or was it as much about staying safe for the racing to come?
In this kind of race you have to stay in front, because if you're in the back it's super hard to pass. It takes you a few laps, so the plan was to stay in front together, but that's also pretty hard, and you saw every team was struggling with that, to stay together and be in the front. But we did our best, and we tried to be as much as possible there.
So that was Suzanne Anderson of Team Sunweb. I also spoke to a couple people from Canyon SRAM, because they were the only team really to try something today, putting Alice Barnes in an early move and then Elena Cicchini. I spoke to their DS, Ronnie Lauka, who liked the stage a lot and thought it had great potential, wondered if in the future it would be better off putting it a bit later into the race, because he felt that the riders were sort of apprehensive about the stages to come. It's funny because it's usually the criterium stage is usually the last stage when the race is decided, and it can be fast and furious and aggressive and so on. This one, it felt like people were hedging their bets. I mean, you know, the riders all said it was really hard and fast, and it was difficult to attack because the pace was very high. But as a spectacle, it lacked excitement, frankly, because you want to see people attacking, going off the front, being caught, and that didn't really happen. It was a group riding around, albeit very fast. I spoke to Alice Barnes. You spoke, Rose, to Elena Cecchini. Let's hear from them both now. First Alice Barnes and then Elena Cecchini. Alice, you had a go early on there. Did that just spontaneous, or did you have any ambitions there?
I kind of got a bit carried away. Most crits I usually do 45 minutes, and I think, yeah, the last proper one I did was the Smithfield Nocturne when I won solo. So maybe I was going for that, but maybe too ambitious. And I just, went around the corner and got quite a gap, so I just carried on. But, yeah, I think we had a gap, and I think Sunweb and Trek came back across, and yeah, if we had a bowls, maybe we'd have been a bit of a break, but we didn't, and they got us back. So, yeah, it was a real tough race. Went for the first intermediate as well. And after that, I kind of paid for my efforts, and once I drifted to the back, it was really hard to move back up. So, yeah, it was a tough race, for sure.
I was going to ask, what was it like inside it? Because I guess from the outside it looked like it was quite controlled, but a lot of riders saying how fast it was. Is that how it felt to you as well?
It was really fast. I think I've just looked. My average heart rate was 170, max 206. So, yeah, it wasn't an easy race. And it was just super fast, and it was never letting up. And when it did, it was kind of bunched. So still to move up, there's nowhere to go. So, yeah, I think it brings a new spectacle to the race, and I think no one knew what to expect, and I think everyone's found it pretty tough.
So next year you maybe save your attack for a bit later in the race?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, Elena, tell us about how this stage went. Canyon SRAM seemed to be attacking all the time, and the other teams were perhaps a bit more reluctant to let you go.
Yeah, you know, like we were expecting like a hard stage on the bike. It's very different from yesterday. You go from 160Ks to 60Ks full gas, so it was quite a shock to the system for me. I didn't plan to do any attack, but I just found a good moment, and I say, why not? No one followed me, so that was, I would say, a suicide attack, but yeah, if you never try, you never know. I'm a bit pissed now in the sprint. I got fourth. It's never nice, but it is how it is, and we will keep on fighting, and tomorrow is another day for more chance, so yeah, let's see.
And what was the team talk for Canyon SRAM this morning? Because, you know, Alice Barnes went off and you went off. Was it all about attacking and motivating the race?
No, we had Lisa today as a designer sprinter, but she was not feeling her best during the race, so we changed our plan. And, yeah, we decided to sprint for me, and I was like, oh, fuck, that attack that may hurt in my legs. But in the end, I was quite powerful as well, so that means I'm in good shape and give me confidence for the next stages. And yeah, now it's all about recovery, because I think tomorrow is going to be serious. So let's the game start.
So as we look ahead to the posh stage tomorrow from our posh accommodation. Is this posh accommodation? Is it? It's nice. It's very nice, isn't it? It's a lovely village, this, isn't it?
I love how, so we've got Emma sitting beside us here, and she's a local, and I love how, in, by her standards, it's just nice. I come in, I was like, whoa, look at this.
She's obviously very posh. She's obviously...
and I'm obviously not.
Takes all this for granted.
I'm very much a stage two kind of gal. And
you are, though, yeah.
I know, I am.
Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's an odd profile, two tough climbs at the start of the stage, but really too early on, a Category 1 climb there. Nothing's going to happen, is it?
Well, it'll be tomorrow. Nice to see. Those are the QOM, so that will be nice to see how that competition
I mean,
is
at
going
the start,
on.
I mean, you know, the having those climbs.
It won't be decisive for the
race,
stage,
no.
But it'll be nice
unless,
to see.
Unless we saw another Cassiani Viadoma, you never know.
You never know. That's the unpredictability of it. But it'll be nice to see who is in the running for that QOM competition? Because, I mean, that's, you know, we know that Sunweb have really... are all in for that sprint competition.
And who Mazaris wants the, at the moment, so...
Who wants the Škoda QOM... Who wants that Škoda QOM jersey?
Look at that. You're not on a bonus for everything. All right. Škoda. Yes.
Well, you've lied to me then, Richard.
Anyway, well, we'll look forward to that. A nice posh stage tomorrow. And we'll be back tomorrow night with another podcast from Stage 3. So thank you very much, Rose.
Oh, yes.
And
thank you,
Arla.
Thank you.
You're listening to the cycling podcast Feminine, brought to you by Škoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.